The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
My name is Maggie. I was a dude in Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
And welcome to episode 494 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Chris Eliopoulos. Chris and I are taking you on the final chapter of our Love It and Shove It rant. We are taking you down the home stretch in which we talk about things which we think some of you may say, you know, I really love it, while others may say, I think you should shove it. So we're in the final throes of that. We are going to finish that off. And then for those of you who have been wondering where Michelle is, she will be back on the very next episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast, or the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. So without further ado, let me allow myself and Chris Eliopoulos to take you down the home stretch for Love It or Shove It. Good.
So you're up. All right, you ready for the next one?
Mm-hmm.
This one's going to stab you in the heart, and it's like a one-sentence Love It or Shove It, but it's very controversial, I think. And I've had thoughts, and I actually discussed with my wife today this exact one. And I want to see where you stand. So they've already broken the seal. In Be Our Guest, they've already introduced alcohol to the Magic Kingdom. How do you think about just allowing it in the Magic Kingdom now? Love it or shove it?
That's funny, because I'm going to say shove it, because one of my original thoughts was I wanted to roll it back. I think that whenever I think about things that are going on in Walt Disney World, and I want to do a show on this down the line, I want to say, if Walt Disney was alive today, what would he think of this? What would he think of that? I don't think he would approve of this. I don't think that he would think of it as being a wholesome component for the Magic Kingdom. So I say no, shove it with a capital S. Now, what did Audra say?
She actually loved it. And here's the theory. So we kind of came back and said, well, if they're offering it in the other parks, what is the reason for the Magic Kingdom? Is it nostalgia? Is it the theme of the park? That is, but if it's the theme of the park, why would they still introduce it with Be Our Guest, right? Which is what you said.
You know what it is, Chris? It's the and this goes way back. The target audience for the Magic Kingdom is a 7-year-old child.
Correct.
That is the target audience. Every other theme park is completely different. MGM Studios is young adults. Animal Kingdom is a sort of a mishmash. Is everybody? Epcot is for adults. Magic Kingdom is legacy, big time legacy. It's the crown jewel. Their target is 5 to 7 year olds. It's always been that way.
Well, the whole idea of the Magic Kingdom was a place a full family could go. A family could go together, enjoy together.
Right.
And so I get part of that where you say no alcohol, because it does. It makes people act stupid. And, you know, I mean, even if they – I wonder if they could put a limit. Like, you know, you've got your band, your wristband, and you could only get, you know, one or two drinks. Would they do that? But I always felt it was like a legacy thing. Like, it was sort of like, well, this is the way Walt envisioned this park.
Right.
He never had involvement with the other parks, so they can go do that. But I feel like, and like you said, it rolls back as soon as you go back to, you know, Be Our Guest, and they added alcohol to the parks. But then, in my mind, I go to the other thing, which is you go to Disneyland, right? They have Club 33. People are served alcohol in Club 33 in the Disneyland park. So what are we trying to do? Are we trying to follow Walt's vision, or are we just hanging on for the sake of nostalgia? I don't know. I know my wife had said, I wish I had a glass of wine in the Magic Kingdom when the kids were little. so, you know, there's that level of, you know, hey, you know, but also the feeling, you know, and I had, we also discussed, and maybe we can discuss this a little bit, is, you know, I said, well, you know, but there is a problem. Like, you go to Epcot and like all the kids want to do the drink around the world. Right. And then sometimes they get ugly. These, you know, the college kids come in and they get ugly when they're doing this stuff. And she was trying to, she was like, do you remember any time of like really seeing that where things got so bad? We go three times a year. Have you ever seen some kids so belligerently drunk that they had to escort them out of the park? And I only remember one time I was in Cava where it was a group and they were doing, you know, they had the shirts on and they were college kids and they were doing the drink around the world. And this poor young lady was just, you knew she had just had too much. She literally laid down on one of the benches and was like kind of like fading quick. But do you want to see that in the Magic Kingdom? And she said, well, I don't see it that much, so I don't know if it would happen there.
Mostly you see that. You see that in Epcot again.
Have you seen it a lot?
I've seen it a lot in Epcot, really? Especially during Food and Wine. Basically, Chris, I see it on, I've seen it when I've been there on a Friday or a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Friday afternoon around 3 o'clock, Saturday around 3 o'clock, especially at night. And I don't know how many times I've said, we have had people on the show who live down there and who have said, yeah, you don't want your family in Epcot from 3 o'clock on either Friday or Saturday during Food and Wine. Mm. I don't think that people are, I don't think that 100% of the guests can handle themselves. I think that's a problem. People want a beer or a glass of wine. There's the Polynesian. There's the contemporary, you know. I think that it's just a thing that I think you have to honor Walt's wishes. If he thought that there wouldn't be a problem, then he would have said, go for it, back when Disneyland was around. But and I don't even know if the... I don't know if he might have said, yeah, no problem in Epcot, because it basically it's for the whole family, but it's mostly geared towards adults. But I think that he wants to, when you think about the Magic Kingdom, they want to hook these kids. They want to grab mm-hmm. their interest. They don't want them to have a bad memory.
Sure.
And you want to avoid any case where a child is very impressionable, and if a child sees something, he's going to associate it with Disney. Right. And, you know, if he sees... So I think that you just say no. I think that, you know, they're very careful. I believe it's Be Our Guest only for dinner. And, you know, you have to drink it in the restaurant. Yeah. And I'm not mm-hmm. sure if... I think there may be a limit of 2 drinks per person. I don't know if...
I think I remember hearing that.
For sure. So they're trying to control it. I still don't like it, you know. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm a prude. I don't know. I just I'm a Disney purist. I just think that there's some things, you know. I remember growing up when there was Sunday Blue Laws. I mean, you couldn't find a store open. It was great.
There are still some. I mean, I was out in Pennsylvania. They have them somewhere. I mean, there's non-alcoholic towns. So,
but you know how nice it is to have one day where you don't have that stuff going on or hustle bustle or whatever. It's so nice to relax. I remember those days growing up and. Mm. Nowadays, it's, you know, 24/7. So, anyways, that's a long answer.
Devil's advocate, though. Walt had no real hand in the Disney World project as it stands today. So who's to say what he would have done in Disney World if he would have done it differently? Who's to say if he wouldn't have had introduced alcohol into the Magic Kingdom?
Well, we do know that he and Roy talked about Walt Disney World and Roy stayed on to make sure that it mm-hmm. opened up in his brother's vision. So I'm sure that there were discussions that they had, and if there was any opportunity for them to have alcohol, I think that Tony's Town Square restaurant would have been one that they would have had, and it never happened. So I think that my guess is that they said the Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney World is going to be like Disneyland. So.
Yeah, it's just interesting that, like, I always find it weird that that's the only place that you can't get alcohol. Like, you know, it's just one of those. Look, I'm not a heavy drinker or anything.
Right.
I'm just trying to figure out, you know, why would, you know, why that place? Why? I mean, they've already taken that little inch. Why wouldn't they do it? I think I'm fine with it not having alcohol. My wife had said, you know, sort of like, oh, it would have been fine to have a glass of wine or something on our travels, you know, if we were there late at night. But we know, you know, there's always the people that take advantage. So, you know, you got to be careful of all that stuff. So
I just think that you think about what all the where the attraction influences came from to build that park. And it all came from very innocent Disney attractions where mm-hmm. you didn't have any adult vices.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, the Pirates theme, is a different like, yeah. thing, but, you know. But,
well, yeah.
yeah.
But, I mean, it's imaginary. It's sort of like the showing yeah. the past. But, yeah. yeah, I mean, that was his point, right, wasn't it? So that the family could enjoy together and that they would look at all of these, you know, theme parks that were, you know, gambling and awful people hanging around, and he didn't want to do that. I mean, if you remember, if you read back to the stories, his wife was, like, incensed. Lily was just like, why would you even want to do this? It's a bunch of – you know, no good people hanging around. And he's like, no, I want to make it different. So I totally get that. But, you know, we're you know, 50 years on, you know, is it different now? I mean, do we see things differently? I don't know.
All I know, Chris, is that if I had a magic lamp and I mm-hmm. could make a wish, I would say to the genie, I want Walt at the next podcast. We're going to do a Love It or Shove It. And we're going to go through everything that's in Disney World, Disneyland, and yeah. a Disney company, and we're going to say, Walt, do you love it or shove it? You know?
He'd drag on his cigarette and said, shove
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, I don't know, because like you said, like, you know, Walt's big thing was nothing is set in stone. We're always moving forward. Things change.
Right.
So you wonder what things change, what things don't change. Who knows?
It's going to be beautiful and all that, so I don't know if beautiful yeah. means, you know, you can have a glass of wine, but...
Yeah. Okay.
So was that yours?
I've got more. Well, that was mine. But if you have another one, but I've got a few more. So whatever you want to do here.
I would say we have time for one more. So I'm going
what?
To.
No, I've got so many. You can't say one
well,
more.
You can save it for another show.
But these are good.
Well, you know, we don't want Michelle to miss out on all this either.
All right.
So give me your best one.
Okay, let's see. Okay, this one. Oh God, this might see. There's one that I think I can't say now because it's gonna. It's a big conversation piece, and we might want to discuss it. I'll send it to you. But okay, so we'll do this one. It is.
Save it for the show.
It's a good conversation that we could actually put it into an entire show. I think.
Okay, save it for Michelle.
Yeah. Okay. So Run Disney institutes a walking lane. Some people need to walk or need to take a break, whatever it is, you know, I do it, it happens. But a lot of people haven't been understanding the etiquette. They say it over and over. You hear Rudy always up there kind of saying, reminding people, try to not to walk more than two in a row, go to the side. What would you say to having a reverse HOV lane, a walking lane? So if you need to walk, they sort of provide – cones or something, some kind of indication where people would go to walk during a Run Disney race.
So are you talking 100% walking or are you talking run, walk, run?
Well, yeah, if you need time to walk, you have to go into that lane. You have to go over and into that spot. Because, again, it's come down to the fact that so many people – one of the biggest problems I think we've all found with the Run Disney races – is when you're running, you probably run an extra mile or two around people during a race. And it's fine. Disney invites all types of people to come and participate, get healthy, get out there and run these marathons, half marathons, 10Ks, whatever it may be. But some people need to run, walk, run, and that's fine. But so many people don't understand that just stopping in the middle of the path, five at a time all across is not good, you know, and then you've got people who are now running off onto the side, onto the grass.
Not cool.
Who could break their ankles on a piece of clothing. as they're running on the side, or you know, or have to run on the grass when it's slick and wet because it's been overnight. And I totally get it. You can run. I'm not saying that people should. I mean, you can walk, and people should walk if they need to walk. I'm not complaining about that. But what I'm saying is, a lot of people don't understand the etiquette that you should be pulling off to the side to run. And so maybe Disney needs to institute a walk lane for people that need to walk. What do you think,
Chris? I love that idea. I just don't know how practical it would be to employ that. I have run so many races where I think, why are these four people walking abreast? You know, right. why don't they get to the side? I'm always worried about when I go into my walk, if I'm going to, you know, have people. So I kind of move my head around to make sure that, you know, I'm not going to be plowed in by people. But if I had that walk lane, I know that I'd be looking for an opening, and then I'd jump in and I'd walk, and I don't have to lift my arm, and I don't have to worry about people plowing into me.
Right. I think that was the point.
Yeah, I think that if they could figure out a way to enforce it, I mean, for halves and fulls, I don't know. But I would welcome that.
I didn't say it was logistically possible. I mean, I hope it is. It could be of some sort, but, you know, or at least indicate somewhere in the literature or, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, it really is tough. I mean, I got to say, in the last race, I was constantly avoiding and slowing down to avoid, you know, walkers. So it's definitely a big problem. And I think more in the Disney races than other races, because there are so many people who are out there running for the first time, doing a half marathon, who have never done it before, and they do need to walk, and it's great. And the fact that they're out there is amazing. But, you know, they don't know the rules. They don't know the etiquette. They don't listen to, you know, the race announcers. They don't read the literature that says, hey, raise your hand if you're going to walk and step to this and go to the side as you're doing it. Don't go more than two abreast if you're going to walk. And that's the problem. You know, it's like, again, it's like, you know, those silicone gels that are inside of everything that say do not eat, because somebody in some point ate them because they don't read the instructions. So, you know, I you know, it's trying to make it better for everybody, I think. I'm not saying you shouldn't walk. I'm saying, you know, for the people who don't pay attention to the rules, we need to kind of spell it out for them somehow.
Yeah, I really would like to see that happen. I think there's so many people, and there's so many new people that come into every race, that it's an education that that, you know, is very needed to be put forth. But we'll see. I mean, I love it. I really love it. So
I know. I mean, again, it's one of the. I tried to come into a lot of these where I wasn't sure where I stood, and I knew that there were problems on both sides of, you know, agreeing or disagreeing with it. And this is one of those. Like, I know I would like to have that where people knew that they could step off to the side and walk comfortably and not get plowed into or not, you know, get in people's way. But I also know, like, they can't, for 26 miles, cone off a side of the road. I mean, it's just not physically possible.
Right.
But it's something that I think at this point is – or they have to do something, right? Like, there has to be something that allows people to really get the hint. You know, stop walking in the middle of the road five abreast. There's people trying to get by.
You know, you could have some kind of race monitors there. Maybe you could have volunteers who are actually running the races, who are there to do that, to enforce that. They would have a special vest, maybe a purple vest that says Run Disney Volunteer, a monitor, and they are there to make sure that you don't have people four abreast, that you don't have people walking on the left side, on the middle or whatever, that they're all on the right side. I think that would be something that I would welcome. Yeah, it would be, I don't know how many people you'd need for that, but that would be something that I think I would welcome. I think it would make everybody happier, and I also think that would help people gain PRs in those races, because there's just no way you can gain PRs. So,
can I roll one of my questions into this one?
Sure.
Which was, and this is, I find this controversial, but I was thinking about it and said, you know what, let's put it in there. What would you say to making a proof of time a requirement to register a Disney race? So, because we see a lot of corral problems where you see people in the A corral who obviously are not A level runners. So you would have to have a pre-race to get in, to get to a, maybe even just a certain, even the corrals, the higher up corrals, you'd have to prove that you've run a race in that time.
Well, you mean like first time
to avoid what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to avoid the people that are, I think a lot of this, the problems of the walking comes from the people who are not up to, like, you know, you have faster runners in the back and slower runners in the front. You were trying to avoid the build up, and so I'm wondering if you need to provide a previous race. So like if you're going to run a half marathon for the first time, you need to provide some kind of race that you've run before to show that you might get there, and that might avoid some of the problems with the runner,
well,
with the walkers.
I think that for a half you have to show proof of a 10K finish. But are you saying that there are people who are able to get into higher corrals A, B, and C, that and they should be in JK and L? Is that what
you're
saying? Well, I can tell you that without naming any names, there are people who I know who have been able to do that through, how can I put this without, let's say, well, let's say you have a, you can register for a race. Mm-hmm. Let me put it this way. Let's say my son, who has the same name as I do, registers for a race. Okay. He runs the race and he comes in at, let's say he runs a 10K and he comes in at 45 minutes. Really runs real fast. Okay, I put that in to register for a half marathon, and they say, wow, you're pretty fast. We're going to put you in as A. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's got the same name as I do. When I go to pick up my bib, my ID says the same name as he does. Bang, so I get into A. I think that's what happens with some people. I just think that there are others who can sign up for a race, races all over the country, and you know they don't check. You pick up your bib, and then you say, "Hey, Flash, will you run this race with my bib?" And who knows? That Flash could get you that time that you know you need to get into the higher corral. So I don't think there's a way of preventing that, Chris. You know.
Yeah, I mean, my thought is just trying to prevent, because my friend Nate had signed up, and he's a extremely fast runner, and he got in late to a race, but he signed up through, I guess, you know, raising money for a charity, and he was extremely frustrated because he was at the back of the pack. He was like in the last corral, whatever it was. He blew by me like within the first 3 miles. You know, like he was just that fast. And his big thing was like, I don't understand. I'm stuck in the back and all these people are walking. I don't begrudge them from walking, but they're in my way. And I'm just trying to think of a way to make everybody happy. And I mean, maybe this is a problem that Disney is also facing. They're trying to figure it out as well. I mean, is this again a problem that we're seeing with the Disney races? Why the things are falling off? Because so many people are getting frustrated with they're getting.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are things that may have been taken into consideration, like do you have corrals A, B, and C start off 1 hour before D, E, and F? Or just you start A, B, and C together, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you wait 15 minutes for D, E, and F. And then you wait 15 minutes for G, H, I, and the rest of them. That way, those people who are considered the serious elite runners, the A's, the B's, and the C's, they don't have to worry about dealing with the mid-pack runners. And by the same token, the mid-pack runners don't have to worry about bringing up the rear runners. I you could do that.
Yeah.
One time they talked about having, this was before they had, this was well before they had the challenge races. They thought about having a half marathon on, because they just used to have halves and the half marathon and the full marathon in January. They thought about having a second half marathon on Friday, and they were going to give people a choice. And I don't know if they were thinking necessarily that they were going to give people choices, or they were saying, if you can't run a half marathon in this particular time, then then you would have to run it on Friday or whatever. I think that there are some steps that they can take. I think one of the problems is that when you have Goofy and Dopey, that kind of runs into a problem. Or if you, you know, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough nut. I mean, it was just sort of an idea based on a current problem that they're having. So maybe Michelle knows the answer, and we just blew it by not waiting for her.
Oh, I'm sure that it'll come up again. Yeah, I'm sure that'll come up again. So this was interesting about a. It's interesting how we come up with these things, Chris, and they end up to be a 15 and 20 minute discussion, which talks about how long we've been thinking about them.
And I've got more, so maybe we can turn them into episodes later down the road.
I'm sure we will. One of the things I wanted to mention to everyone, we haven't talked about this in a while, is that we have the Mickey Miles Challenge coming up on the weekend of August 18th, 19th, and 20th. We're going to be talking about it fairly soon. It's only about 2 months away. We just wanted to remind everyone, if you want to see what Becky has drummed up for special rates, you can go to www.mousefantravel.com and you can find out. If you want to find out what her Mickey Mouse Challenge rates are, you would go to Mouse Fan Deals and click on the Mickey Miles Challenge where it says find out more, and she'll talk about what her package includes. And I guess that's it for now. So, Chris, very good discussions. And I'm wondering if there are people out there who have been thinking about the same stuff as we've been thinking about, and we want them to chime in on our Facebook page. So, for Chris Eliopoulos, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.